If we could turn our Bibles to Galatians chapter 6.
And if you could find Philippians chapter 2. When you find Galatians chapter 6 and Philippians chapter 2, if we could stand for the reading of God's Word. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." And the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray that the Holy Spirit would have its will and its way tonight. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you just give me the words to speak. And God, I don't want one word to come from William Turner, but God, I want every word to come from you. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you would just be with them as they listen. Lord, just please, just be with me as I preach. In the heavenly name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We could turn to one more verse in Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15 and verse 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. My dad, for many years, I don't know if before, but especially I remember one of the first weeks that he was pastoring Open Door, he made a statement, and I've never forgot it. He said, "You never know what's going on behind a set of eyes." And that statement stuck with me. And about a month ago, I was out mowing the church property, and I was coming down toward the road, and I was just thinking about something, and that thought came into my mind, and I stopped the tractor right there and got on the phone and said, "Dad, have you ever preached a message on your statement? You never know what's going on behind a set of eyes." He said, "No." I said, "Then good, I'm going to preach it then." And he said, "Go ahead." But I started thinking about this when I was preparing the sermon. And for 4 years, anybody ever worked customer service in here? I worked it for 4 years. I was a manager at a department store, Elder Beerman. Macy's was our arch enemy. And because there's no Elder Beermans around here except the Lions, to give you a thought of what they were. We had this lady, and I can't say her name because I learned that they all listen still to my sermons. I'll get a text message, "Hey, I listen to your sermon." It's like, "Oh, great, now I can't talk about you guys anymore." You know, but there was this lady. She had worked at the store for 27 years at this time. I had been there a year at this time, and I felt it kind of awkward being over somebody that had been there 27 years over me. I was a manager. She was just a cashier. She worked in the children's department, older lady, sweet lady. I got the opportunity one time to ask her about the Lord sitting in the break room, and she gave me a thorough plan of salvation that G.B. Vick was preaching the night that she got saved and everything. She's a sweet older lady. One day I went into the break room, and I was sitting there, and I was greatly fascinated with our vending machine because it was from like 1960. And, you know, other people get excited about slot machines. I got excited about our vending machine. And I was in there playing with the vending machine, and she was in there, and I heard somebody weeping. And I turned around, and Joyce was sitting there, and I turned, I just said her name. And I was sitting there, and Joyce was sitting there, and I said, "What's wrong?" She said, "Nothing." What everybody didn't know was Joyce was still working this job, even though Joyce was in her 70s. Joyce was still working this job because her husband had had terminal cancer. She could not quit the job because it was her insurance working this job that had paid for all his bills. He was in the final stages of his life. She's very quiet about about her life. He was in the final stages of his life. And one more time, right before I left, I said, "Joyce, are you sure everything's okay?" And she said, "No." I said, "Is there anything I can pray for you about?" She goes, "Well, I made a mistake at the cash register today." She goes, she hated making mistakes. If she was one penny off, because I counted the money in the morning, if she was one penny off, soon as the doors open at 9 o'clock for the employees to come in, she was right at that cash office asking if I found that penny so she could make things right. She hated making mistakes. She made a mistake. And the customer on the other side of the counter, of course, did not understand what everything Joyce was going through. And apparently, from what the other employee saw, that this guy just lit into her and called her every name under the sun, told her if she couldn't do her job right, that she needed to go home, and yakety yak yak. When I was preparing this message, I thought about that. That man did not know what was going on behind her set of eyes. He did not know everything that Joyce was going through. Joyce was a sweet old lady. Joyce was trying to do her job properly. Joyce quit shortly after that, I believe, if I remember right. She quit shortly after that because she took a leave of absence because she was so upset that she could no longer perform her job properly because of everything going on. She took a leave of absence. I began thinking about that. You know, it wouldn't hurt us Christians every once in a while to understand what each other's going through. This is going to be a different sort of message from me. I was listening. Preacher gave me some tapes of his at Lighthouse, and you preached a message in April. I think it was like April 15th of 1985 on a messenger revival. So I got my revival fill a message listening to Preacher in the car the other day in 1985. And apparently in 1985, you could go to McDonald's and get a hamburger, fry, and a large pop for 99 cents because you told all the kids to go out and get them after church. Anyway, but I started thinking about that. You know, I just want to try to help some people in here tonight. And this is, like I said, this sort of message for me. But I began thinking, I don't know everything that everybody's going in here through. I may think I know. There's some people I'm closer to who are than others. But you know, I might not reveal everything that's going on in my life. I might not reveal everything that's going on, but there could be something that's hanging very heavy over my mind and my heart that you don't know about. This morning was a perfect example, and I started chuckling as I was driving the bus. I got up this morning, and every once in a while this happens, and I don't know why. I just threw up vile, and my esophagus was on fire. I was aggravated. I was mad. Somebody left the key on in one of the buses. It didn't go, it just, nothing. And Brother Jim pulled in, and I said, hey, do you got jumper cables? He goes, yes, and we turned the buses around and finagled, and we got it started, and I just started getting irritated. Nobody knew what was going on this morning. I didn't express it, but I started getting irritated, and I was getting irritated, and I was getting more irritated. And I got behind the seat, and I said, God, please do not let anybody cut me off this morning, because I'm driving a church bus, so please. But, you know, nobody knew at that point what was going on. But that's minor, minute things. But I'm sure in here tonight that there's people having some heavy burdens upon them. There's some things upon some people in here tonight that they're keeping inside, and yet we are so loose with our tongues when we're not understanding what's going on in somebody's life. We're not understanding that they might go through something that we're not even sure about. And we're so quick to judge and talk bad about it. Did you see how that person acted? Did you see how that person walked right by me? Colton, you walked right by me this morning. You did not say anything. How do I know what Colton's going through? Colton might have something heavy on his heart. Colton might have something heavy on his mind that I don't know about. And everybody deals with everything different. For instance, Bill Gates is a millionaire. Why? Because Bill Gates is a good businessman. I'm not a good businessman, so I'm not a millionaire. That's not me. That's not my personality. Brother Dave is great at all kinds of different things. He's a master of all. Me and him was having the time of our life digging dirt up the other day and just having a blast at it. I mean, just driving around in circles in the baseball field. I'm sitting there watching, taking pictures. I saw it's the greatest thing ever, digging up dirt. Small things in life I appreciate. But everybody has. I was thinking about Brother Fred Belcher this morning. Pastor Dave and I joke a lot that if all the buses broke down and you told Fred Belcher, here's a handcart, go pick up the bus kids, he, okay. Everybody's different. Everybody deals with things differently. Everybody's made differently for a reason. I'm never going to be a millionaire because I'm not that intelligent. I'm never going to be the master of all things or of all trades and be witty about everything. That's just not me. I handle things differently than you might handle things. Somebody might losing their job might be just catastrophic to them. To you, you might have lost a job. You might have lost a couple of jobs. And to you, it's not that big of a deal if you know this person's problem, but to them, it might be the end of the world. Everybody deals with something differently. Somebody might be going through marital problems that you don't know about. Somebody might be suffering from some health ailment or affliction that you're not sure that you don't know about. But yet we're so quick to judge each other, and you don't. As that statement, you don't know what's going on behind that set of eyes. I have I'm very straight focused and narrow. When something gets a little off kilter, when somebody's doing something a little funny, I get, my mojo gets thrown off. I can't handle it. I can't handle it when the buses are down there parked weird. I just, all week I drive by the church and know that they're like that, and finally I'll just, and I'll pull in and I'll go fix it. I just get very, and then when I see somebody, and I like to throw humor in the mix, but when I see somebody doing something weird, my mojo gets thrown off. I get, it's like, why is that person doing that? It's like, honey, I go home, honey, did you see why? But then I start to begin to think, I don't know what that person's going through. I remember one time at Thanksgiving, the day after Thanksgiving. I hated working the day after Thanksgiving. But all at the same time, I loved working the day after Thanksgiving. But I sure hated getting up at 2 o'clock in the morning to go open the store so people could come and yell at me. And we had these little, I hate them, those little willow tree people. They have no faces. I don't understand why anybody would want a little thing with no face on it. But these were very popular at Elder Beerman. And we had everything that Willow Tree made, we had them all on this display cabinet. Well, they would get messed up. Well, the day after Thanksgiving, it was mandatory we could not leave our registers. Well, this guy, it was a man too. Why does a man want a Willow Tree? I don't know. But he brought it and he goes, "Can you help me find this box?" I'm sorry, sir. I was very polite. I said, "Sorry, sir, I can't leave my register." I was a little starstruck in that he wanted this willow tree thing this bad. But he took it, and he slammed it down on the register, and its head came off and went rolling down the aisle. Well, I thought that was funny, because here's this little head just rolling down the aisle. So I start laughing at that. This guy, he cussed me out, and I said, "I'm sorry." I didn't yell at him. I didn't do anything. You know, that guy came back a couple hours later, and he apologized to me. Because he had been in a car accident earlier that morning. If you never know. You never know what's going on. You never know what someone's going through. You never know. I've seen people get so burdened and downtrodden because they don't think the Lord's doing something in their life. And they come to church with a heavy heart. And they come to church and they're just in deep thought. And the Holy Spirit every once in a while would nudge me to go up to them and say, "Hey, what's going on?" And they would respond, "We don't know what's going through. We don't know what someone's going through. Who knows? But God knows." But we're so quick to judge. We're so quick not to, as the verses we read about helping the weak, we're so quick to do something that we don't know. And I've used this as an illustration, and I'm not trying to belabor it or anything, but when Taylor and I had the first miscarriage, I make this statement. I don't know if I heard it from somebody else and I'm repeating it or what, but this, it's real profound. The worst thing you've ever been through is the worst thing you've ever been through. It's somebody losing their spouse might be a little bit more significant than somebody losing a cousin. But if no one's ever lost their spouse before, that cousin, that might be tragic to them because they never have experienced any more pain than that. But when Taylor and I lost that first baby, we wasn't that far along, I don't know, 7 weeks or something like that. And some people had made some comment, "Well, you're young, you can have more, at least you wasn't further along," and everything like that. We didn't understand that, because that was our baby. Taylor, we got to miss out. We'll get to see it in the other side of heaven. I often wonder, I was wondering about it today when I was studying this message. I often wonder if it would have been a boy or a girl. I often wonder what it would have acted like, what it would have looked like, what it would have did. Who it would have married and how many kids that it would have had. And I often think about that and often wonder. But you know, but I'm not trying to puff people up, but there's two people, Pastor Dave and Tammy, because they had experienced that. They never came up and said anything grand or glorious, but they came up and said, "We're praying for you. We love you. How you doing?" They didn't try to get some magnificent lecture going on and how big God was and everything like that. Because at that point, I didn't really want to hear about that. The secret things belong unto God. That's great. But that didn't fix the fact that I couldn't get my baby back. And I'm not trying to say anything about the scripture, but you know, every once in a while, as he says, the best thing to say is nothing. If somebody's going through something, just go up to them and tell them you love them. If somebody's not acting quite right, just go up and say, can I do anything for you? Is there anything that you need? Can I take you out to eat and talk to you for a little bit? Is there anything that I can do to try to help you out besides running your mouth and flapping your tongue and hurting and driving knives and daggers deeper and deeper into their hearts? You don't know what someone's going through. You don't know the pain that's going on. You don't know. And I preached all of this message, and I'm going to preach all this message for this. Bethel Baptist Church, if we can't learn to love each other, how are we going to learn to love people on the outside of these walls? How are we going to have the heart to go door to door and knock in and put jewel bags on the doors and go out to our bus routes and everything if we can't get along with each other? If someone's laying down and downtrodden, if we're going up to them and smashing them in the dirt and going back behind their backs and talking about it, you don't think somebody finds out that you're talking about them. You're full of baloney. Nobody keeps secrets anymore. Nobody keeps secrets. Oh, I heard some great information. Don't tell anybody. Then that person goes up to someone, I heard something, and you better not tell anybody. Well, then, you know, everybody's friends in here, so everybody thinks they have another friend that they can go tell. And by the time all of our friends told each other, all 150 people in the sanctuary on Sunday morning just found it out because everybody's friends. You don't think someone runs their mouth? They do. And then when that information finally gets back to them, you don't think that hurts? You don't think there's empty pews in here tonight because someone put a dagger deeper in someone's back when they was having some problems? It might have not have been a big problem to you. It might have been a mediocre problem. You might have not have understood it. But the worst thing that person's ever been through is the worst thing they've ever been through. They might have had some tragedy that you don't that you didn't know about. But it's easy to feel the sympathy with somebody when we're all going through experiencing the same thing. Remember when he was in the hospital, how we rallied together. Why? Because we was all experienced the same thing. Remember people hugging each other at the altar and crying, and people that probably didn't talk to each other in a long time was rallying together and talking and crying and the prayer meetings and everything that was going on. Why? Because we shared a common interest in our pain. There was something that we could all relate to in our pain. There was something that we all wanted earnestly. When's the last time you walked up to somebody, though, and hugged them, just told them you loved them, when you didn't understand what they was going through? You might have not have known the problem. You might have not have known what was going through, but they just wasn't acting right. And we're so quick to get the credit of a claim of, I helped that person out. Stay away from them. Stay away from them. I want the credit. Who cares who gets the credit? I at the tent revival in Lima, we had a cop come in every night. It was, you had to pay him a minimum of 3 hours. It was $20 an hour. And the cop came because we just, if in a high crisis situation, we didn't trust people shooting in a tent with 300 people in it. So we wanted somebody that was expert in it. And this cop came, and he stood and he leaned against the tent pole every night, didn't he, Grandpa? Every night he leaned against that tent pole. He was leaning against the building. Officer Pyle, I think his name was. And Open Doors people went up to him, and they bombarded him and asked him if he knew the Lord and if he died right now, if he'd go to heaven and yakety-yak, and he kept saying no. I was leading Wonderful Grace of Jesus, and I can't sing well, but I love singing, and I was leading Wonderful Grace of Jesus, and they was getting into it, and At the end of the last verse, you slow it, well, wonderful. You slow it way down, and we was having a good time. And I looked in the back. Jeff Fugit was standing there talking to this guy while I'm singing Wonderful Grace of Jesus. You know, the Wonderful Grace of Jesus reached me. Why can't it reach Officer Pyle? But why does Jeff Fugit, who runs a church of 3,000 people, why does he get the credit of leading this guy to the Lord when all these people all week's been trying to get this guy to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And Dad goes, let's sing that last verse again. And I was leading like this because I'm watching what, you know, what's going, and I'm trying not to look and, you know, everything like that. But it's like, ah! But then at the end of that song, it's like, because I felt bad for the people. But at the end of that song, Officer Pyle's name got added into the Lamb's Book of Life, so what's it matter who got the credit for it? Someone's going through something, someone needs something. Go to them. Pray for them. Ask them what they need. Ask them what we can do to help besides pushing and pushing and pushing. Do you know, though, for the person that is hurting, let's turn to it. 1 Peter 5:7. Familiar verse. First Peter 5, 7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. You know, sometimes there has been people there for me, but sometimes it just didn't feel like it. And an old saint of God told me one time, if a verse ever pops out to you, to write the date beside that verse, you can remember it. I remember sitting in my dorm bed at Grace Baptist College, and I wrote a date beside that, because I just didn't feel like nobody cared. I felt like I was alone, felt like nobody cared, and I wrote that beside. But you know, if you're hurting in here today, I know we know this. He really does care for you. If you're hurting, I don't know, there must be somebody hurting in here for a message like this, because this message really isn't up my alley for the way that I preach, because I know I'm not delivering it well. But He cares for you. If there's something that you need, He cares. If there's, don't be afraid to come to the altar, even if you don't have a problem tonight. Make this altar something that you do regularly. I beat myself up a lot for sitting at the organ and not getting up sometimes. But make this a place. I know you can pray in your pew, and I know you can pray anywhere else. And I have a great time praying on the tractor as you're sitting there for 8 hours with nothing else to do except drive around in a circle. And I enjoy that. But every once in a while, you just need to get yourself a place. And I've never found a better place than coming to this altar. Sometimes just during the week, nobody's here, I'll come to these steps. Put a lot of burdens down on these steps. I remember when I was 13 years old, for about a year, every Saturday at 10 o'clock, the men met. And I remember kneeling here, my grandfather kneeling here, my dad kneeling here, Carl McDaniel kneeling here, Pastor Scriver kneeling here, Brother Dave Ballard kneeling here, and some other men are on this side. And I remember begging God, beseeching God for the baptismal waters to move, because they wasn't moving. Guess what happened? The baptismal waters moved. I remember praying for bus routes, and I was too scared to pray out loud then, but I remember sitting there begging for God to fill the building and begging God for souls to be saved and things to be done. And I pulled those papers out the other day, because that Rob Polfel was here at the time, and he was very fanatic about numbers and everything, and he had these little sheet things. I pulled them out of an old shoebox that I had, and I looked at that year in 2003, and I seen the numbers, and I seen things that happened. When's the last time, though, that we've got burden besides someone about ourselves? That we've really got burden for souls and other people, people that's hurting outside these walls. And I remember the men begging for Portage County, and the men begging for Ohio, and the men begging for the United States. And you know what happened? The church was running 300-some people at that time. Not trying to scold anything that's going on, but when's the last time that we've got more concerned about somebody else than ourselves? When's the last time that we got more concerned about how the kids in our Sunday school class is doing rather than ourselves? When's the last time I can't say anything about our bus workers, because they care about the kids. When's the last time, though, that a soul was lingering? And I've said this statement a lot, but I mean it. When's the last time the soul was lingering out in the pew, and the preacher was begging, and the preacher was pleading with that soul, and that you stood in your pew so concerned with that soul, and that you prayed for that soul to step out of the aisle, that it was so bad you couldn't stand it, and that you went to the altar to make sure that you'd pray for that? When's the last time you got that burden about a lost soul? Or are you concerned about getting out those back doors so you could go turn the football game on or check on your meal? It's the last time you took a drive around Ravenna, begged for it. It's the last time you spent some time out in the church property and begged for it. Now, it goes farther, and I hope I'm not stepping out on a limb, but it goes farther than just the building. It's not about the building. It's about who's going to occupy that building. It's not about having fanciness. And even though some people hate these mustard pews that Pastor Dave preaches against so much. It goes farther beyond the fanciness. It goes farther beyond how big that building is going to be. It goes farther beyond on the grand and on the glorious of it. It goes to who's going to fill the pews, who's going to drive down Infirmary Road, who's going to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, who's going to surrender to preach in that building, who's going to surrender to be a missionary, who's going to be a pastor's wife, who's going to make decisions for Christ, who's going to be baptized in that building. It goes further than this stinking building. It goes who's going to occupy that building. And when's the last time you got so concerned and so burdened for people that's saved and burdened for people that's lost, that you couldn't stand it, that you quit running this thing and started burning in here where you had to talk to him about it? When's the last time that you quit running somebody down and just talked to God about it? You might not understand what somebody's going through. You might not understand the problems that they're going through. But when's the last time you talked to God about it? Because it might be just you that has the problem. Besides pointing fingers to everybody else, it might be you. It might be you, spirituality, that's in the toilet, not theirs. That you don't understand, you don't see the cup. I love the story. I listened to it the other day, and he used it as a sermon illustration. Dr. Jim Delishman was preaching, and the lady with the hat was on the other side of the building with the hat and the gloves and everything else, and she sat there the whole time, made faces at him when he was preaching. I don't know how you can make a face at Dr. Jim Delishman when he was preaching. You laugh, maybe a smile. I love that guy. We used to sit right there where Pastor Myers and Miss Chris is sitting, and Dad was Sunday school superintendent, and I'd be sitting on the very last, and I could not wait when you walked in and you'd seen the banner, Dr. Jim Delishment Revival, and I'd sit right in that pew, 4, 5, 6, 7 years old, and he'd walk in, and he'd walk in, and he'd come up, and he'd walk real slow, and he wore this really nice cologne, and he smelled good, and you could start smelling it before he'd come, and he'd stop, and he'd go, "Hey, bud, I'm hungry. You got a hamburger in your pocket?" I just thought that was the greatest thing in the world. I loved him to death for that. And I have this sermon that he's preaching with that in it. He said after the service, him and Miss Delishment was standing in the back shaking hands. And this woman came along and said, "Reverend," anybody that says that, you know something weird's coming. "Reverend, I'd have you to know that you did not fill my cup this morning." He said Mrs. Delishment could see that the anger in his face. And she said after he left, he turned to her and said, "Honey, don't worry about that lady, because she had her cup upside down." But you might not see the glass the same way that somebody else sees it. Somebody might be in a pessimistic mood. Somebody might be hurting. Somebody might be doing something that you don't understand. Instead of kicking them down, instead of pushing them in the ground, go down and reach the hand. You don't know what's going on behind a set of eyes. I think about the song the other day. Often we wondered why tears come into our eyes. Burdens seem to be much more than you can bear. God is standing near and he sees the fallen tear. Tears are a language God understands. Glory to God. There's burdens on your back that you can't bear. He's right there to bear them with you. I love the verse, and I quoted it so many times when I was when I would be preaching at the jail, Matthew 11:28, "Come unto me, all that are meek and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You got a burden in here. Someone's might be on your nerves, and you might be on that last thread of hope. Someone's running their mouth and don't understand, and you don't understand why someone's not lending a hand. Jesus is right there to lend that hand. When I'll say this and I'm done. When Taylor and I lost that second baby, one of the sweetest phone calls I ever got was from preacher. Sitting on the side of the bed, and I was trying to be macho man for my wife. And I didn't cry. We got from that ultrasound, and we seen that baby formed on that picture. Happiest moments of our lives, and 10 minutes later, we find out that its heart had stopped that morning. Preacher called. First thing he said was, "Billy, preacher loves you." One of the sweetest sentences in my life. I don't know how many times that I've had a card, a note, something come to the house, and at the end of it, say, "P.S., preacher loves you." Sometimes it said PSS, preacher really loves you. PSSS, I mean it, Billy, preacher loves you. It's in a duck card. I keep that card very, and I open it up. Times it wouldn't hurt for us to write a note. Times it wouldn't hurt for people that's in the modern technological age to send a text message. For a week, he sent me a text message, Pastor Dave, every day. I love you. Doing okay? Need anything? That's why he knew what was going on behind the set of eyes, because he had felt that pain before. But even if we have never felt that pain and we don't understand, lend a hand, lend a prayer. Let somebody know that you love them, but more importantly, point them to the one that loves them the most. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you just be with this message. And if somebody's hurting in here tonight, God, I just pray, Lord, that you'd help them. And Lord, I just pray if someone in here tonight don't know you as their personal Savior, that this would be the night of salvation. God, I have to believe that there's people with heavy hearts, with burdens on their backs, Lord, that only but them knows. And you, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that, Lord, as a church, that we would rally together. Lord, that we'd learn to love each other a little bit more. Lord, that we'd learn to love you a little bit more. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you just bless this invitation, Lord, just bless this altar call. In my heavenly name we pray. Amen.